Well, before we start, let's pray to the Lord. Let's turn to God in prayer. Our gracious God, we do thank Thee for Thy help this morning in opening, seeking to open the Scriptures. And Father, we thank Thee what we're able to say and hear this morning. And Father, we do pray that Thou help us not to forget the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Help us to take these things and to remember them and to use them in our lives, that, Father, they might help us from day to day. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can turn to the Word again tonight. We pray that these things are open up. We pray that Thou would be pleased to grant faith, Lord, to the unbeliever, and a strengthening of faith to those who have laid hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted in Him. Do undertake for us tonight, we pray. Strengthen us to hear these things. Grant us all grace, and to grant us that blessed help of the Spirit, the Comforter and the Remembrancer and the Teacher. For we ask these things in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, dear friends, our text for tonight is Matthew chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. Although I could have taken other texts tonight to begin with as we consider the Godhead or the Holy Trinity. This is a good one because all three persons of the Holy Trinity are here at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, there's the Son, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead, the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my God the Father's, the first person, Son's beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Well, dear friends, before we look at this and some other verses, I'll just remind you what we were looking at last time, last Sunday night. We were in Acts chapter 2, and we're looking at just three verses there, verses 22 to 24. And there we were considering the ministry, the preaching of the Apostle Peter, preaching to the Israelites in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, about who Jesus of Nazareth was, or Jesus from Nazareth, or it's sometimes been translated Jesus the Nazarene. We saw that the apostle said to them that first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ was a man who had been approved. He said he'd been approved of God the Father among them by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of them, as they themselves also knew. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he, during his earthly life of ministry, did many, many miracles. And they were all indications and signs that he was not only a man without sin, but also that he was the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It's the Trinity we're going to look at tonight. So he said that to them. Secondly, he told them that he was also somebody who had been delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge into the hands of his enemies towards the end of his life, into the hands of the Jews, and also into the hands of the Romans who crucified him. But it was all in God's plan. He was delivered by the planning, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So they took him, Peter tells them. Fourthly, he was also somebody who was crucified and slain. He was taken by wicked hands, either reference there to the Jews, was behind his death, behind his crucifixion and his being murdered and slain, and or it could be a reference there to the Romans who actually carried it out for them by nailing Christ to the cross, the activity of Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, and also his soldiers. Then fifthly, we saw Peter also mention to them that Christ was somebody who was raised up from the dead on the third day, because it was not possible, because of who he was and because of what he had done, and he had completed it. It wasn't possible that he should be holden, that he should be held by death. So the purpose of God, that he should die for sinners, but then that she should rise again from the dead. Again, another proof of his deity, that the Father raised him by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of holiness. And we concluded, well, I concluded by asking each and every one of you, if you're here, whether or not you believe that Christ was delivered, taken, crucified and slain for your offences, for your sins. He went to the cross in order to pay the penalty of your sins. By believing in him, you're forgiven of all your iniquities, of all your transgressions, of all your sins. And secondly, whether or not you believe that he was raised again for your justification, for your being made right with God, so that you might no longer be under God's condemnation, but you might be under God's eternal blessing, the curse being removed, Christ becoming a curse for you, and God blessing you because of his work on your behalf. So we're looking at those things last Sunday night from Acts chapter 2, 22 to 24, Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, and these things about the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity. Now tonight, what I want us to do is to look not only at Matthew chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, but a number of other scriptures, because I want us to consider not only the second person of the Trinity, but also the other two persons of the Trinity. I want us to consider the Godhead tonight. It's a great subject. It's a very great theme, this. We can go to the biblical limits on this, but no further. These things can be very difficult to understand, but if we're Christians, we're going to go as far as the scripture teaches and no further. And although we don't understand these things wholly and completely, we will accept and believe that there is a Godhead, there is a Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wonder if you do believe in this, or in these things. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in the Godhead, this great Godhead? Do you believe in a Holy Trinity, the Holy Trinity? The first person, the second person, the third person. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe that if you're somebody who is a true Christian, somebody who has received the new birth, this is something that you'll believe in your hearts, that you'll believe in God, and you'll believe that there is one God in three persons. You won't understand it altogether. Much of this will be a mystery to you, but you will submit yourselves to the scriptures, to God's inspired word, and it's something that you'll accept, and something that you'll will amaze you, but something that you'll just worship God for, that he is one God in three persons. Well, what are the scriptures? What does Matthew, these verses in Matthew and some other scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, teach us about this? Well, a number of things. The first thing is this. We need to see that there are two initial or preliminary points concerning this that are very important indeed. Secondly, we also need to see that this is something that, although it's not explicitly taught in the scriptures, you won't find a reference to the Trinity in the scriptures, in the whole of the Bible, Old Testament and New. But just because it's not mentioned doesn't mean to say the teaching is not there. It's not mentioned explicitly, but it's there in all the scriptures. Just as Christ is in all the scriptures, the Godhead, the Trinity, is in all the scriptures. And there's much evidence for that. We'll look at that. And then thirdly and finally, I just want to go into the relationship that there exists and has always existed between the three persons of the Godhead. So let's look at these three things tonight. First of all, there are these two initial, preliminary, very important points about the Holy Trinity. What are they? Well, the first is this. The Holy Trinity doesn't mean, when we talk about the Godhead, when we talk about the Holy Trinity, as it's taught in Scripture, we don't mean to say, of course, that there are three gods, that there's a trinity of gods. Christians aren't people who believe that are tritheists, if you like. We don't believe in tritheism, three gods. Because, of course, it's very much the teaching of the Old Testament, and of course it's also the teaching of the New. We are those who are monotheists. We believe in one God, one Lord. In fact, we were reading some scriptures this morning, weren't we, in Ephesians chapter 4. One Lord. There's one God and one Lord. That is what Christians believe. We find this in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. In the words of Moses, when he addressed Israel, he said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, one Jehovah, one God." He goes on to say, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Come into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples in John chapter 10 and verse 30, that chapter is all about him being a great good and chief shepherd. He said to his disciples that I and my Father are one, one God. Those are the two of the three persons in the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. Persons in the Trinity, but only one God. I and my Father and one. And for that, the Jews wanted to take up stones and to stone him, because they realized what he was saying, that he was putting himself on a par with God himself. He was making himself out to be God, which of course he was and is, the second person of the Trinity. And then in James's epistle, the epistle to James chapter 2 and verse 19, James wrote these words, "You believe that there is one God." That's right, there is one God. "You do well. The devils believe and tremble." It's warning the people about a kind of believism without their actually having a saving faith. The devils believe these things, they know these things, they assent to these things, they agree to these things, they don't actually believe them. Of course, there's no salvation or redemption either for Satan or for his demons. And you and I have got to beware that we don't just have an intellectual faith, an intellectual assent to these things, but we believe them from our hearts. Well, do you believe this, my dear friend? Do you believe that there is just the one Lord, just one God, over all, God blessed forever? That is the Christian church's position. That's what the Christian church has always taught. That's what Christians believe. There is one God, and such a great God, such an ever-blessed God, such an all-glorious God. But to go on from that, the other important point is this, preliminary point is this. There's one God, but although there is only one God and not three, he exists as three persons. Scripture teaches this, as I'll show you in a moment, but also this is what we have in the great creeds and the great confessions of the church. Listen to this. This is one of the creeds, one of the early creeds. It said, "The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. The Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Ghost is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. For as we are compelled by Christian truth to acknowledge each person by himself to be God and Lord, so we are forbidden by the same truth to say that there are three gods or three lords." That's one of the creeds. But what about the Great Westminster Confession of Faith? Well, they declared this. In the light of scripture teaching, of course, the revelation of God in his word, because you were not going to find this in creation. My dear friends, we should be so thankful for the Holy Scriptures, because without the Holy Scriptures, we would not know this. The creation of the world and God's dealings with the world in providence has not revealed this, that there is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this is something which is particular and peculiar to his revealed will in the Scriptures. But from those teachings, the Westminster Divines put it like this. There are three persons within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, and these three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power, and equal in glory. It's a great God, one Lord. Three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Do you believe then that God exists as three persons? My dear friend, do you know the Lord? Do you know God? Do you know God? Has he saved you from your sins? And has he brought you into saving knowledge of himself and into a relationship a close spiritual relationship with him. So you, as he reconciled you to himself. So you know the Father. You have a relationship with the Father. You have a relationship with the Son. And you know God's the dealings of God's Holy Spirit in your life, in your heart, and in your soul. So those are two initial points. Secondly, there's a great deal of evidence and proof, if you like, in the scriptures for these things. But remember what I said. You're not going to find this explicitly taught. Why is that? I don't know. Perhaps you might have your own ideas about that. You've got to be careful with your own ideas, you know, philosophies about these things. But the Lord has only revealed these things in an implicit way. Perhaps there's nothing explicit because there is so much implied evidence and proof for it. Perhaps that's the reason why. So much implied evidence for it. So we have this taught, first of all, in the Old Testament scriptures. We have the proof there for the Holy Trinity. There are many references. Let me just give you a few. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first verse of the Bible, the very first verse of the Old Testament. In the beginning, God. The name for God there is Elohim. And that name is in the plural. It's not in the singular. And the scholars believe there that it's in the plural there to denote that there are three persons in the Godhead. And they created the heaven and the earth. The Father, through his Son, brought this world into being by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in our creation, the creation of Adam and then the creation of Eve and so on, Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, let us, not just I am going to do this, but let us, a plurality here, make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then finally in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, you could keep on going. The Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of, remember, one of us, to know good and evil. The Trinity kind of discussing these things within themselves, within the context of the Godhead, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. You have those verses and references showing the Old Testament scriptures implicitly teaches the Holy Trinity. But they also teach that the Old Testament also teaches that our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is God. The second person is taught in the Old Testament scriptures. If you read your Bibles, and if you're not one of these people today that only reads your New Testament, but also reads your Old Testament because it's all the Word of God. You go through the Old Testament, you go through the book of Judges and other scriptures, Joshua, you come across a reference to the angel of the covenant. Of course, Christ is in so many scriptures in the Old Testament. But there you come across many references to the angel of the covenant. Who was the angel of the covenant? The angel of the covenant was none other than a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It was a theophany. It was an appearance of God. It was Christ before he came into this world, before he took upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, before he was born of Mary. He appeared, not in flesh, but he appeared in this world. And he appeared, that's not every reference is to him, but whenever you come across a reference to the angel of the covenant in the Old Testament scriptures, it is usually a reference to him, Christ, as God. Taught in the Old Testament. And also you have the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament too, don't you? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Again, going back to the creation, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And who was it that moved upon the face of the waters and brought order out of the chaos? Indeed, who was it by whom God made the worlds? Yes, through his Son, but it was by the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, brought order out of the chaos of those times. Who was it, my dear friends, who inspired the prophets to prophesy the things that they did? Jeremiah and Isaiah, the major prophets, Ezekiel, the minor prophets. Who was it that inspired them? It was the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God came upon these men to be able to foretell God's word and also to foretell what God was going to do in the future. How did God convey and communicate future things to the prophets? It was through the divine operation and the divine inspiration of God the Holy Spirit. And then, my dear friends, just take this example from Exodus 31 and verses 2 to 5. Who was it that came upon that man Bezaleel? And that man Aholiab? And wonderfully enabled them and granted the skills and the gifts and the talents in order to build the tabernacle, that great tabernacle. Who was it that enabled them to do that? It was God the Holy Spirit. Who strengthened Samson? Who came upon Gideon? Who came upon Jephthah and Deborah? Who came upon these people? It was God the Holy Spirit. You see, my dear friends, in the Old Testament scriptures, you have the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's not all that clear in the Old Testament scriptures, lest the people of God fell into the error of polytheism. But it becomes far clearer, doesn't it, when you come into the New Testament scriptures. Take the baptism of our Lord, the water baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, also his spirit baptism as well, because the Holy Ghost came down upon him at this time. When he was baptized, we started with this, Matthew 3 and verses 16 and 17, when Christ was baptized, he came up out of the water. So Jesus, the Son of God, the eternal Son, the second person. But lo, the heavens were opened to Christ. And he saw the Spirit of God descending. He came down like a dove. He came down gently. Perhaps he came down quite swiftly. He came down quietly. And he alighted upon the Son, the Spirit of God, the third person. And lo, this voice from heaven, that not only sounded from the Mount of Transfiguration and at other times, but here saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The Father. It was the voice of the Father. You've got all three persons in the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Jehovah's Witnesses come round and they begin to argue, especially they love this, they'll come straight onto the Godhead of the Holy Trinity because they know there's no explicit teaching. And a Christian who doesn't really know their scriptures will be kind of rifling through, looking for something totally definite. When you want to show them that the Trinity is here, you take them to the baptism of Christ. Now, they'll perhaps have their own falsified Bibles, and they'll give it in another version, but you tell them, this is God's word here. And this is what is taught in these and so many other scriptures. We need these things, my dear friend. We need these verses. We need these references in order to teach people that are in heresy, that are in error today. So you'll find it there in Matthew. You find it before our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. When Gabriel was speaking to Mary and answering her, she wanted to know how she was going to have this miracle child. How she was going to bear the Son of God into the world. How was this going to happen? And Gabriel tells her, "The Holy Ghost, the third person, shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest," a name for God the Father. He is the Highest, the Most High God, the Majesty on high. "He shall overshadow thee. Therefore, so that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Father, Son, and Spirit there. And then in John 15 and verse 26, I read it, this also to you earlier on. Christ said, Christ, the second person, "When the Comforter, the Spirit, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." So the New Testament is very clear, teaches the Trinity, teaches the Godhead. Turn to the apostolic benediction. We'll close, God willing, with it tonight. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. If you're somebody here tonight who's been baptized, if somebody in the future is going to be baptized because you've repented of your sins and you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've been saved, when you go through the waters of baptism, you'll be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's just coming from the minister, whoever baptizes you, that is coming from the scriptures, from Matthew 28 and verse 19. The New Testament teaches the Holy Trinity, teaches that Christ is the Son of God. Those great words of John, John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God in the beginning, and the Word Christ was God, and he is God. Jesus said, I've said it to you already before tonight, John 10 and verse 30, in that chapter in John's Gospel, he said, I and my Father are one. Put himself parallel, if you like, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father. And you have these, another reference, Romans 9 and verse 5, and many others. Whose are the fathers, Paul said, about the Jews? And of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Amen. And also, as you go through the Gospels, notice that those descriptions that belong to God only are described of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's described as being eternal. He's described as being changeless, immutable. He's described as being all-powerful, the miracles that he did in his name. He knows all things. He knows what's in people's hearts. Nobody can convince him of sin, but he knows what's going on in other people's minds and in their hearts, because he knows all things. He's God. He's a creation is attributed to him. He's involved in providence. And he is the one, my dear friends, who one day is going to sit on his judgment seat and judge the world in righteousness. Who but God is going to do that? Christ is going to do that. He is the Son of God. And of course, the New Testament also teaches that the Holy Spirit is God too. Jesus said, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Again, proving his deity. The Spirit of God is, the Spirit is God, because blasphemy is not allowed against him. And there's a terrible punishment if it happens. So that is the second thing, my dear friends. You go into all the scriptures. Old Testament, it's not so clear. It's a progressive revelation. These things become more and more clear. And it is there in all its glory in the New Testament. The Holy Trinity. God, one God in three persons in the Old Testament and in the New. But just before we come on to our last point, and I'll be brief with that one. Think of this. One of the things that belongs to God is love, isn't it? God is love. Well, my dear friends, in eternity, who did God love? I know it's a philosophical way of looking at it, but have you ever thought of that? Who did God love before he made anything? Before he made the angels? Before he made man? Before he made any creature? Who did God love if he is love? Because love must love another. He loved within the context of his Holy Trinity. Well, my dear friend, are you a Christian tonight? Do you believe these things? Do you believe all this body of truth, all this body of proof, all this body of evidence concerning the Godhead of the Holy Trinity? And do you particularly, my dear friend, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Because there's no being a Christian without that. That is fundamental. That is the bare minimum, isn't it? That Jesus Christ has come into this world and that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins upon the cross and rose again on the third day. No being a Christian without these fundamental truths, these plain truths of Scripture, these bare minimum concerning the Gospel. Well, lastly, what's their relationship? The relationship in the Godhead. Well, just a few things about this before we finish. None of the three persons are subordinate to any of the others. God the Son is not subordinate or less than the Father. God the Holy Spirit is not subordinate or less than God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. All the three persons are co-equal and co-eternal. It's a well-known phrase of many ministers. Whenever they begin to think about any of the persons of the Trinity, they'll always say that. They are co-equal and they are co-eternal. On a par with one another, not one under one another at all. But listen to this. My dear friend, for your sake and for my sake, for the sake of our salvation, if we're Christians, or if you become a Christian, for the sake of the redemption of your soul, which is precious to God, there was a voluntary subordination, a subjugation made amongst the Trinity. It's called the economic Trinity. God the Father planned redemption from eternity past, before the creation of the world. God the Son was sent by God the Father in order to accomplish the salvation of our souls. He came, the Father sent him. He volunteered to do this. He came willingly and voluntarily. He submitted himself. He became obedient to his Father. He came into this world. He obeyed the law for us. He died on the cross in order to pay the penalty of our sins. The sense in which he came under God, as it were, like this, for the sake of our redemption. He humbled himself in this way to accomplish our salvation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And God the Holy Spirit, he submitted himself, if you like, to the Father and to the Son, as he was sent by both in order to apply this salvation to people like you and to people like me. The wonderful love of God, the wonderful love of the Trinity, that they were prepared to do this. The Son was prepared to humble himself. The Spirit was prepared to condescend, to come and apply this great salvation to your heart and mine, to come and come into us and regenerate us, to give us the new birth, to grant us repentance, to grant us faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he might be in us forever. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What a lovely relationship there is between the persons, the three persons of the Holy Trinity. Well, do you believe this also? Do you believe in this glorious relationship between these three, the three great and all-glorious persons of the Holy Trinity, co-equal and co-eternal, but the Son being obedient to the Father, the Spirit being sent by the Father and the Son into our lives in order that we might lay hold upon eternal life, we might trust and believe in Christ and be everlastingly saved. Believe in these things from the heart, and if you testify these things to others, well, then that is an indication that God has begun this good work in you, and that you've been saved. Behind your salvation, the salvation of your soul, are these three persons. Just like the three persons behind creation, so they're behind redemption. And that is why, my dear friends, and they're sovereign in it, that's why it has been accomplished, and that's why it will be perfected in us without fail. Not one of us will be lost, because we're in their hands. They've accomplished it. The Spirit has applied it, and he's going to bring it to perfection and completion one day when we reach glory. So may God grant we might believe these things with all of our hearts and tell others about these things.